You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thanks for being here today. Today's show will be a mix of Tennessee football and basketball. In the first segment, you'll hear from Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt, what he had to say after Monday's practice, as one side of the ball had a clear advantage versus the other, according to Tennessee's head coach. You'll hear him talk about that. Jeremy Pruitt also has an update on offensive lineman Trey Smith, who has been at practice with Tennessee. He is not practicing with the team, but he does remain very involved. Jeremy Pruitt will explain coming up in the first segment. In segment number two, David Ubben of The Athletic will stop by. He and I will talk Tennessee football, his thoughts on the first few days of practice and the early impression of some of Tennessee's newcomers. Also, Jared Garantano's role in the offense. That's coming up in segment number two. And in the third segment, I'll switch to Tennessee basketball as the Vols get ready for the SEC tournament this week. They won't play until Friday night, so plenty of rest for Tennessee's basketball team, which could be needed. You'll hear from Rick Barnes talking about Lamonte Turner and his shooting struggles, and some honors being handed out for Grant Williams is a big one on the way for Grant. I'll get to that coming up on Locked On Vols, 5 days a week covering what's going on with Tennessee, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So Monday was the first day for Tennessee to be in full pads on the practice field. It was the third practice for Tennessee this spring, which means the spring is a fifth over for Tennessee. You have 15 practices. That includes the orange and white game. So there are only 11 practices to go before Tennessee will have its spring game on April 13th. Next week is spring break, so that breaks things up a little bit in the middle. Yesterday was the first day in full pads for Tennessee, and Jeremy Pruitt, meeting with the media afterward, believed that one side of the ball had a better practice than the other. He was complimentary of the offense, complimented what it was able to do on third downs, really taking care of the football. And then on the flip side, Jeremy Pruitt said the defense needs to do a better job playing harder and forcing turnovers. Listen to more of what Jeremy Pruitt had to say about the offense versus the defense at practice on Monday.
No, I'd just say our offense just kicked the defense's tail today. About as bad as I've ever seen in a full padded practice.
You said the defense got their tail kicked today, and the offense did well on third downs and taking care of the football. What else, maybe in terms of winning the day, did the offense do from your standpoint?
Well, I think it starts with attitude. I think they practiced with the right attitude. When they made a mistake, they didn't let it bother them. They played the next play. I felt like they played harder, played more physical, executed at a higher level. When you do those things, you tend to have success.
Jeremy Pruitt, he's not hiding from some of the issues he believes are there on the defensive side. Part of that could be motivational, but I think also Jeremy Pruitt's being honest with how he believed the defensive side performed. If you do think about Tennessee's defense right now, there are personnel questions. Darren Kirkland Jr. is not available, so that means you might be relying on some younger players or less experienced players to emerge at linebacker. On the defensive line, you have guys who have not carried the weight before that are now expected to be your new starting line, replacing Kyle Phillips, Shai Tuttle, Alexis Johnson, Paul Bain. Those guys had a good amount of experience last year. They're all gone up front on the defensive line. Tennessee's head coach was also asked about newcomers and their ability to help, and he pointed to the defensive side and was talking more about guys that are not here yet or not available, like Tyus Fields right now is not playing, but said he didn't see too many guys out there that belong in the field on defense. Things will improve. In the secondary, you have Bryce Thompson, Alante Taylor, who have, I think early on in their time at Tennessee, done a good job. Nigel Warrior is a player that Tennessee needs to be really good. Daryl Taylor is a guy that needs to lead Tennessee's defense. So there are players to rely on. And then some of those younger guys, Jalen McCullough, can he be an impact player in the defensive backfield? Quavaris Crouch, J.J. Peterson. There is a long way to go for J.J. to be a guy that Tennessee is going to be able to count on, but Tennessee signed him to be a guy that Tennessee can count on. So if we get to the fall and J.J. Peterson's not helping Tennessee's defense, that's a big disappointment, I would say, entering his second season, considering what Tennessee's coaches thought of him and how hard Tennessee fought to beat out Alabama and Georgia for Peterson, Tennessee needs him to be an impact player. We'll see what happens with Kavarius Crouch. He looks the part. Physically, he looks the part. Still has a lot to learn, but there's nothing wrong with that. And then the defensive line, they just need players to emerge. Emmett Gooden is one of the first players that Tennessee is going to have confidence in. I would say John Mincy is going to be on that list. Aubrey Solomon's status is unknown. If he is given the waiver, if he is cleared to play this year by the NCAA, that could be very impactful on Tennessee's defense. I would say the Vols need that to happen. They'll need the JUCO players, Darrell Middleton and Savion Williams, to be able to help right away. The point being, there are still a number of needs on the defensive line. On the offensive side, there are reasons to be optimistic. Jarrett Garantano continues to get more praise. I'm going to save it for tomorrow, but tomorrow you're going to hear Jeremy Pruitt talk about Jarrett Garantano, and Tennessee's head coach might have offered the most praise he ever has for Garantano after practice on Monday. I talked about Garantano. You heard from him on Monday's show, so we'll get back to that coming up tomorrow. But just know that Garantano is receiving some praise from Tennessee's head coach, which is not easy to find. But along the offensive line, if they have the right mindset, you do have experienced players who can make plays at the skill positions. Callaway, Jennings, Josh Palmer made a nice play on the ball at practice on Monday. Ty Chandler, Jeremy Banks, guys that have played, Tim Jordan, and Dominique Wood Anderson at tight end. There are more obvious names, I think, to throw out on the offensive side. The offensive line is a clear work in progress, but there are some guys that have maybe progressed nicely in the weight room, and that's without Trey Smith being a part of the conversation. Trey right now is at practice. He had pads and a helmet on Monday, but is not actively participating in practice in terms of contact drills. He is very involved, though, in talking to players on the practice field. Trey's almost serving as a coach out there and can be as verbally animated as just about anybody. Jeremy Pruitt did kind of explain Trey Smith's status, where things are currently, and why he's out there, why he's at practice each day, kind of serving as a coach off to the side.
Well, he's part of the team. He's really, when it comes to being injured, he's not injured. Trey plans on playing football one day again. That's his hope, and that's what he's working hard to do. So he wants to make sure that he gets an opportunity to watch from behind, so he's got a good idea about the calls and techniques and things.
So mentally, Trey Smith is probably ahead of just about everybody on the team. I would say he is. And physically, if he were cleared, now there'd be the football shape, all that stuff he'd have to get back into. But he's obviously a guy that can play in the SEC. So Trey's presence has to help his teammates. Wanya Morris is a guy who should be listening to everything that Trey Smith has to say on the practice field or off it. If I'm Wanya, I'm doing everything I can to learn from Trey, who was in a similar position 2 years ago. He arrived as a highly touted offensive lineman, a five-star coming in with big expectations, and started right away and was a big-time player right away. The expectation should not be the same for Wanya, I don't think, as what Trey accomplished 2 years ago. But for Wanya himself, he has big expectations. So I'd be soaking up everything I could, all the information from Trey Smith, and trying to play right away. Darnell Wright, I would say, should do the same this upcoming summer as well. So I would say when Tennessee gets back to practice on Wednesday, the defense will absolutely be challenged to play at a higher level. I'll talk more about that on tomorrow's show. Also, Jeremy Pruitt talking about Jarrett Garantano coming up tomorrow. Coming up next, David Ubben of The Athletic will weigh in on Tennessee's quarterback, what he thinks about Garantano's role in the offense this year and newcomers who might be standing out. We'll get to that coming up next on Locked On Vols here 5 days a week covering what's going on with Tennessee. It's available on Apple Podcasts, on Google, Spotify, Overcast, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts, you can find Locked On Vols. And when you get in your car, it can help your commute if you just say, play podcast Locked On Vols. Your podcast will fire right up for you for that commute. It's Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So after watching practice on Monday, I had a chance to talk to David Ubben with The Athletic. So you might hear some sounds from Tennessee's campus in the background of the conversation, but we talked about what's gone on with Tennessee and what stood out to David having seen the first three practices for Tennessee. What has he seen? Here's David Ubben.
I mean, I think the comfort level that you would expect is kind of there. I don't think, you know, you see guys sort of knowing a lot more expectation. You're not seeing coaches barking at, like, basic things quite as often. And I think, you know, that came to fruition quite a bit last season, in that you saw Jerry Pruitt, you know, get frustrated with, you know, relaying calls, corners executing blitzes. You saw those things that are really basic things I don't think he thought he'd be frustrated about. And so, you know, are those basic things that are sort of disappearing this spring, are those going to, you know, carry over to the fall? We'll see. But I think that's the biggest thing. And you know, the newcomers, sort of keeping an eye on them. We haven't, you know, we don't get to see a ton. And today was the first day in pads. So we'll see what those guys can kind of offer up. But, yeah, I think those are the two biggest things, is a comfort level and obviously the new bodies on the practice field.
It's nothing more than a very early eye test. But with those newcomers, anything stand out to you, and any surprises, anything in that regard?
I mean, I think a couple things. I had spent a little bit of time with Wanya Morris in Atlanta, I don't know, earlier in this offseason, and he just built differently. Like, his body just looks different. Like, he's such a wide base, and he just has gigantic legs. And I think you can see that on the practice field. And, you know, he's got to sort of earn a spot, but I think I'll be surprised if he's not a key part of the rotation, if not a starter, week one even. Quaveris Crouch is just a gigantic human being. Like, 6'1", 242. Is it possible that they have undersold how big he is? Like, he's just a big presence. Jalen McCullough, another guy who has looked really good working with the DBs, just a taller, big safety. I think he'll be in the rotation this year. So I think those are the big standouts. I think certainly for Tennessee fans, disappointing that Eric Gray will not be out there. Shoulder surgery, he's not going to be participating. Tyus Fields, I think they think he might be able to get back, but he had some surgery around Christmas, or a procedure, I should say. So, yeah, so those guys not on the field. But, you know, you look at that threesome of Wanya and then Quaveris Crouch and Jalen McCullough early. You kind of like what you see from those guys physically, but a long way to go, obviously, in not only spring, but in the offseason leading into this fall.
David Ubbin with The Athletic. Jarrett Garantano back now. He's entering his fourth year. He has a lot more experience now, having been the starter this past year. Anything stand out to him, talking about Jim Chaney's offense, his role, his development, when he met with the media on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, I asked him, for folks who had not seen on his social media, he sent out that tweet. It was like January or something like that. Of, you know, this offense is I believe it was three fire emojis. It was a lot of fire emojis. So I asked him, well, what prompted that? It was kind of out of nowhere. It was like a couple hours after a basketball game was over. It was kind of random, like 10 o'clock at night. And he kind of played a little coy. It was kind of, you know, well, I just love the control that I have in this offense. I think he just feels like, you know, he's not playing where, you know, in some ways, I guess you could say that he maybe felt like a puppet in the previous offense, and now it feels like he's sort of running the show a little bit. I think it's a combination of, one, just the way that Jim Chaney's offense operates, and two, I think just being more experienced and being older and understanding more. I mean, the flip side of working with four offensive coordinators in 4 years is you understand a lot of concepts and a lot of things being accomplished. I think that probably helps him big picture. And so I think that's a big part of it. And I wrote on The Athletic this week too. You know, this offseason he went up to New Jersey, spent some time with a private coach working on mechanics and sort of being ready for whatever the next system was going to be. They worked under center. They worked RPOs. They worked spread concepts. They worked a ton of stuff, working on the basics, and I think he feels like he's in a good spot right now. So confidence is high. We'll see if that sort of, you know, translates to the field.
I would say best case for this offense is for Jim Chaney and Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, he's going to be a part of it, for them to be comfortable with him having more control, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't that be a sign of development? It's all to be determined. We're just a few practices in, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, in theory, I think for Jared Garantano, I think he likes the idea of not getting blasted from the blind side every other play. I think that would be, you know, just guessing. I think he probably would approve of that development in the offense. But, I mean, it seemed like last year you didn't have to read between the lines very much, that Jeremy Pruitt was kind of putting some of the onus on some of those hits at Jared Garantano's feet. And I think maybe today, or not today, but this week talking to him, I think maybe you might see a little bit of a response to that, of like, well, I didn't feel like I had that much control. I didn't feel like I could move pieces around as much as he could in this offense. And so it's early. We'll see what the results are. I mean, spring – you know, hope always springs eternal. So we'll see kind of what that looks like in the fall, and if that control ends up being a very good thing or a thing that takes some adjusting to. So a wealth of possibilities out there for Tennessee at this point.
And then last thing, the defensive side, there are two new coordinators. Derek Ansley, any early impression? And one thing that we have seen is Ansley and Pruitt together on the practice field a good amount of time.
I mean, you gotta like those minds working together defensively. I mean, the guys that we talked to this week obviously had some pretty good things to say about him. They like working with Derek Ansley, but I mean, Ansley is as much of a rising star in the profession as you're going to find right now. I mean, one of the highest paid DB coach, I think the highest paid DB coach in the NFL. He'll be a first time, and I'm using quotes here, play caller. He'll be a first time play caller this fall defensively. I think that'll be probably more of a group effort in terms of how that actually works once the season gets going along. But yeah, I mean, just a bright mind and a guy that I think guys can learn a lot from. I think you look at where Derek Ansley is right now. To me, he looks a lot like Jeremy Pruitt, like 5 or 6 years ago, a guy that people really speak highly of in terms of their knowledge of defense, and he's getting a shot here, and I think we'll see how that plays out. But just looking and sort of asking around and looking at where he's been, I think it's going to go over pretty well for him.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you say that Pruitt kind of – his comments maybe showed that he sees a little bit of himself in Derek Ansley's path?
Yeah.
You have the NFL mixed in, but other than that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, that quote that he dropped where, you know, if I start a sentence, he can finish it, I think that's one that's going to be brought up pretty often, because I don't think there's that many people that can finish Jeremy Pruitt's sentences or that he'd trust to do that. So, yeah, I think that's a big part of it. And I think, you know, when you talk about fit, you know, bring in a new defensive coordinator, obviously they're not going to be doing that much different stuff. It's pretty much the same types of things. But bringing in another guy that knows this offense, can call this offense. I mean, at this point, last year, Terry Fair, Jeremy Pruitt said was the only guy who really didn't feel like he could call the defense, and he hadn't been with them. But now they have a full staff of guys who have worked together in a variety of different places, in a variety of different roles. But they've all been together. They all know this defense. And so I think you're going to see a lot of different input and a lot of guys who know a lot about this defense. And it's hard to think that's anything but a good thing for the Vols moving forward.
All right, busy time, spring practice, basketball going on as well. What's going on at the Athletic?
Well, we've got plenty of coverage. College basketball, the conference tournaments, I think we've got 3 people in Nashville this week. We'll have people at every single site for the NCAA tournament. So the Vols will certainly be well covered from that perspective. Looking for some good stories. If you guys haven't seen already this year, Dana O'Neill had a nice story on Jordan Bone. I've written a little bit. She wrote about the sort of body transformation that Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield have undergone this year. So check it out. We've got plenty of college football coverage, but you won't be shorted in terms of the tournament coverage that we've got. So a lot of boots on the ground over the next, month now. One of the best months of the year, I think.
Yeah, I agree. At David Ubbin on Twitter. David, thanks as always.
Anytime.
Coming up next here on Locked On Vols, I'll switch to basketball. Rick Barnes talks about Lamonte Turner, who has not shot the ball as well this year as he did last year. Rick Barnes explains what he's seen there and some honors coming in for Grant Williams. Does he have more on the way? I'll get to that coming up here on Locked On Vols, your team every day. And if you have time to rate and review the show, that's a big help to the podcast. Thanks to everybody who has done that. I've checked that out on iTunes, and it really means a lot. I appreciate you taking some time. If you haven't, but you do have a moment to rate and review the show, 5-star reviews are always appreciated right there on iTunes. And keep spreading the word to Tennessee fans on social media, on message boards, forums, wherever you might share information about what's going on with Tennessee. Tell them about Locked On Vols here 5 days a week, covering what's going on with UT. So Tennessee's getting ready for basketball on Friday night against most likely Mississippi State. It could be Texas A&M, or I say Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's not going to be there on Friday night. Let's be realistic. But against Mississippi State, most likely. Right now, I think Tennessee's focus, again, is working on some of its own issues. Tennessee shot too many threes on Saturday. That was reiterated on Monday during Rick Barnes' press conference. Tennessee turned the ball over too many times on Saturday. That was discussed again on Monday. And when it comes to shooting, part of the issue is shots are going up and they're not going in quite as often for some players, including Lamonte Turner. Last year, he shot just under 40% from three. This year, Lamonte's shooting just under 30% from three. It's a pretty dramatic drop-off. Tennessee's basketball coach talked about Lamonte on Monday and why maybe he's dealing with some of the shooting issues. This is what Rick Barnes said about Tennessee guard Lamonte Turner.
I think he's pressing too hard to make a three. Again, you go back to his best games. You go back to we wouldn't have won the Ole Miss. I mean, the Ole Miss game without him and all his mid-range action. And I think it's simple. I think he's taking tough shots. And I think when you take tough shots, it puts more pressure on you to make a shot. And in your mind, you're thinking, I got to make a shot, which is not the way you think to begin with. You just want to play good basketball. But I've said before, players can shoot their ways into slumps and put pressure on themselves by just taking shots they shouldn't take. He's done that. There's no doubt he's done that, but he's got to recognize he's such a much better basketball player than thinking he has to make a three. Lamonte Turner can affect a game in so many ways if he never made a shot. I mean, he's become arguably one of the best defensive guards in the country with the way he can disrupt a game and when he's making plays for his teammates and the game just gets easy for him. It's when he starts trying to make shots from the behind the arc. That's when he doesn't play as well.
Rick Barnes talking about Lamonte Turner. In the first half of SEC play this year, Lamonte shot overall really well. Against Missouri on the road, he hit 3 of 4 threes. Against Arkansas, he hit 3 of 4 threes. Against West Virginia, non-conference game, but in the middle of SEC play, he hit 3 of his 5 three-point attempts. At Vanderbilt, 2 of 5. South Carolina, 3 of 6. Texas A&M, 3 of 6. Florida, 3 of 6. And then after that, he really started to tail off. Since the South Carolina game on February 13th, when Lamonte hit 2 of 6 three-point attempts, he has not shot better than 33% on his threes. He went 0 of 7 against Kentucky on the road. Nobody had a good game there. At LSU, he was 1 of 7 this past weekend, 1 of 8. Kentucky at home, that was a game that Tennessee won by 19, but Lamonte was 0 for 4 from 3, 0 for 3 against Mississippi State. So he's struggling. There's no denial of that. Everybody recognizes it. The numbers are right there. Tennessee needs him to shoot better, but I would also say if the shot's not falling, take less. Don't force anything. Maybe that's part of what Rick Barnes is talking about with players can kind of shoot themselves into slumps. That's what Tennessee is trying to avoid when it gets to tournament time, taking bad shots, not running the offense the way that it needs to be. And I don't know that it's a huge concern. I look at Tennessee's three recent losses at Kentucky, at LSU, at Auburn. Matt Norlander of CBS Sports said, you can't have a better loss on your resume. There's no such thing as a good loss. But in terms of, okay, if you have to lose a game, well, at Kentucky, it's one of the two best teams probably in the SEC, two of the top three for sure. At LSU, one of the top three teams in the SEC. So at Kentucky, at Florida, those are two of the three along with Tennessee. And then at Auburn, it's probably the fourth best team in the SEC. So it's not good to lose those games. But for the NCAA tournament committee, I don't think that's a big negative. If Tennessee wins the SEC tournament, it is guaranteed of being at least a 2 seed and has a good chance to be a 1 seed. So Tennessee's still in a fine position. And if the Vols lose on Saturday, that hurts Tennessee a little bit. If the Vols were to go 1-and-done and lose on Friday, well, then we might have an even bigger problem to talk about. But I also don't think that's going to happen. So I don't think there's great concern at Tennessee over what's happened recently, but there are some things to improve on. And I think a lot of teams around the country are having some of the same conversations. There's not a team in the SEC right now that is saying, hey, everything's perfect. Kentucky feels good about where things are, but Reed Travis right now is out. That's not good for Kentucky. LSU obviously has some issues. Auburn's riding high off that win from this past weekend, but everything's not perfect at Auburn. Duke has issues. The teams around the country right now that feel really good would be Gonzaga. They have to feel great. Killian Tilly came back last night. They blow out Pepperdine, get a key player who can come in and be a part of that rotation. Gonzaga right now might be the favorite to win the national championship. UNC has to feel really good. I would say Virginia does. Michigan State is feeling better, but everything's not perfect there in East Lansing. That's about it. Houston should feel really good, but Houston's going to be an underdog team heading into the NCAA tournament, at least in their own mind. So there are a lot of teams, would be my point, that have a lot of things to work on. Tennessee is among them. Tennessee also has honors coming in for Grant Williams. NBC Sports had him as a second-team All-American on Monday. Sporting News named him a first-team All-American on Monday. And now we wait on the SEC Player of the Year announcement. I think Grant's going to be the SEC Player of the Year. He'll for sure be first-team All-SEC, but I think we're going to be talking about Grant Williams as a repeat winner
as SEC Player of the Year, and it would be the first time a player has gone back-to-back with that honor since Corliss Williamson at Arkansas in the mid-90s. So something to pay attention to as SEC and national honors start to roll in. Other players will be in the running as well. Rick Barnes is in the running for Coach of the Year honors. But pay attention there. Grant Williams, does he win the SEC Player of the Year award? That's something we're watching here this week. Coming up on Monday's show, more on Jarrett Garantano, Jeremy Pruitt talking about him, and Rick Barnes talking about what's going on in the SEC. I'll get to that on Wednesday's show. Locked On Vols here 5 days a week covering everything going on with UT. Thanks so much for hanging out today. My name's Josh Ward, and I'll see you right here tomorrow.